talk about the timing of the Lord. Do you sense the timing of the Lord? It's time, it's time, it's time. Praise the Lord. It is time. I've had it confirmed all over the place, from shore to shore, from one part of the country to the other part of the country. I keep getting words for me personally, for this ministry personally. It's time, it's time, it's time. Years ago, back in about 2001, a prophet spoke over me, and he said, there'll be a day that Point of Hope will be in Madison Square Garden. I'm really careful. A lot of people don't know that word was over me, but since then, it has been given over me by so many people that don't know each other that Point of Hope is going to go to Madison Square Garden. Now, I am Point of Hope, but so are you that are involved, all my partners. I don't know if I'll be the one that actually gets to go to Madison Square Garden, but that tells me God's got an eternal work with this ministry that is going to go to Madison Square Garden. And, you know, if you've noticed, the big fanfare or whatever, I'm not interested in that. I never have been. What I do love to do is praise the Lord. So what does God have planned? I won't even let the girls buy me presents. You know, you guys get blessed and whatever. And they used to, when we first started out, made a big fanfare about giving me a gift every year, you know, when we do these conferences. And finally, I just said, would you please not do that anymore? It just takes so much away, don't you think? It's like, you know, they come running down here at about this point, and they put this big bag in front of me, and it's got goodies in it and whatever, and their hearts all mean well. But it's like, to me, it would break my heart. It would literally break my heart, because there was my reward. There was my reward right there. And then my husband sat me down and spanked me and said, they love you, and they want to bless you, and they know you work your little heart out, and you need to let them bless you. I said, well, then, Henry, you tell them to do it discreetly. If they want to meet me down in the office downstairs, and they want to do it, but let's not take away what has been just really blessed here. Amen? What has been blessed here is like the word has come out so pure and so clean and so pristine. The workshops have been excellent. Amen? And you think you came and gave a good workshop, but what God did is he cleaned their hearts and stretched them beyond what they could even imagine to give that message. The one that I thought would be the most confident was the one that was the most shakiest up here, gave the most humble message that was so powerful, but he was shaken to his boots. He was so honorable. He was just literally not wanting to step on my toes. But he did what I asked him to do. Amen? What God asked me to ask him to do. And he did an excellent job. Amen? Praise God. It's been an awesome time. The people that prepared the food back there, they didn't know. I didn't tell anybody before I got here what was going on medically speaking, and that my whole life and diet had changed and whatever, and it just turned radical. You know, I've had to eat chicken every day. Chicken for breakfast, chicken for lunch. Yesterday, I mean today, I said, forget it. They brought the chicken to their turkey down, and I just pushed it aside. I just couldn't eat it. I was like, I've had enough of this. But I'm going to say, I know you guys got fed excellent. Amen? Isn't that the idea? We wanted you to be well taken care of, and I pray that you feel you were well taken care of. Amen? And the headship of that responsibility was on Debbie Andres. Amen? And I know this family, that what her husband does is he makes sure she doesn't get overloaded and that she is not taken for granted. My husband would be the same way. But they did it together. He prayed her through, covered her, and in their personal life, with the loss of four dear loved ones, very close dear loved ones, just even a week before I got here, I mean, I'm telling you, they say all those nice things about me. I can say some pretty nice things about Debbie and Dave Andres. Amen. And those that live here locally, you know how precious they are. And if you don't know, you need to find out. They're just the most loving, giving people I've ever met on the face of the earth. Amen? Amen? So there's a lot of awesome things have taken place. I love to bring the word, the sound of the Lord. I love talking about alliances because God said you need to learn alliances. I wanted to let you know what those alliances were as far as government, churches, the military. If we don't form alliances, that it's going to be tough out there. Amen? If we don't come in agreement, one of the biggest problems we have in America right now is the division in the church. We're not a body. We've broken off and fractured ourselves in so many directions, and you can have a church across the street right now, and let me go back and share. I was in Georgia, and I was out of Macon County, awesome place. We drove down there to do this ministry. We drove in the driveway, and there's a small driveway between these two churches, and I looked over at the one church, and I went, man, they can spit and hit the other side, the other yard. And so afterwards, we were talking, and I said, and I had that alliance word inside of me, and I said, do you guys ever get together? Do you have a coffee together? They got the other church up for sale, and it's a prominent church in the United States. Both of them are. And he goes, no, he didn't want anything to do with me. We're as opposites. We're charismatics. They are not. We won't talk. And I said, so you're not talking because of theology? I wonder what God thinks about that. The other night I said, I love it when I go into a city or a village and the pastors get together. I remember what happened in Seward, Alaska when I first started going over there. That was one of the darkest places in Alaska. People would have bad dreams and nightmares. Horrible things would go on. And one day the Lord said, I want you to go over to Seward, Alaska, and I want you to pray. And Debbie worked over there a lot. Debbie Grimes worked over there a lot. And when they sent her over there to do the work that she did at the vocation, she used to work for vocational rehabilitation. And it was an AFTEC place for training and equipping for all kinds of stuff. So Debbie would go over there and work, and they'd give her a hotel room for 2 or 3 days. She says, man, it's got 2 beds. Come and get a rest. You're just go, 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 and busy all the time. And you know what? They got God TV. I mean, I had 3 stations on my TV, and they were local. So, and I'm talking Anchorage. And so she said, come and watch God TV. I don't watch God TV. Sorry, but that just is a waste of my time. But I did go over there. I decided to go over there and start walking the streets, and God started showing me stuff. And I went into a couple of New Age shops, New Age, and they had piles of stuff like this, witchcraft, like you wouldn't believe, and all kinds of stuff that was opposite, that stands between me and God. Garbage. And they had piles of it, and they were giving it away. People come in, they were just giving all these handouts out. And I just smiled, and I said, wow. I said, I know where to put these. Can I take them? And they went, yeah. And I went, good, I'm going to put them right where they need to go. And I went down the street, found a dumpster. And I walked around the town, and I mean, you could not believe what I saw. At that particular time, the chief of police carried around in his pocket business cards for one of those New Age shops that upstairs was a house of ill repute. And so when tourists would come in, the men would come in to go fishing or hunting or whatever, he'd make sure they had that card if they needed their needs taken care of. This is what I was walking around. This is what I heard. This is what I prayed about. This is what men and women told me there in that town. And I mean, I did. I went, wow, this is scary. And I'll tell you what, this was before Vicky and Paul moved over there when this happened. And you can imagine when they showed up over there and how tough it was. And then I got to meet Vicky and Paul in Seward, and they're like, they'll agree with me that that town was dark and depressive, and people would go out of that town, and they could almost feel the demarcation line when they drive, and it was like light. And they would go over to Kenai, or they'd go to Anchorage, and they'd go to church, and then they would come back down into on the peninsula and go to Seward, and they'd just go in through that dark place, and it was heavy. And the pastors didn't really want to engage. And so we just started going. What happened is I went home. I said, you know, Henry, I was leaving Seward, and I heard the voice of the Lord, and he said, you're coming back, and you're going to bring a team. I didn't have a team then. But we ended up with a team, and we ended up with a group out of Anchorage, a group out of the peninsula. There was something that happened in the spiritual realm that in Homer, Alaska, they had got a new Catholic priest down there, and he said, God has really put it on my heart for the kids in Seward. There's so much drinking and problems there. The Avtec, our village kids, would come out to go to school there, and they would have the dividend money, and they would just invest it in drugs and alcohol, and they were killing each other. They were freezing to death out on the streets. This was a nightmare. As a mother, it was breaking my heart. And I remember I went down to Anchor Point, which is down below us, and we were in a prayer group, and I told them what I saw and what happened, and they said, you know what? Let's all go over to Seward. Then we started getting it all over. So something happened with this Catholic priest down in Homer, Alaska, and he says, he got the congregation together, and he says, I wanted to take a team. He got a team of 40 people to come up and pray the same day we were in that area. People were waking up in Palmer and Wasilla and Anchorage, waking up in the morning. It was a Saturday morning, and they're waking up and they're just got an unction. They're being drawn to Seward, Alaska. Bill Bright Ministries had sent up something like 41 kids, college kids, go up and do ministry, and 20 of them went over to Valdez, and the 21 didn't know where to go, and they talked about, somebody finally said, well, let's go down to Seward. So we had the 21 Bill Bright college students down there, and the next thing you know what was happening? We were all gathering, and we were all praying, and we started moving as one thing, and I think, if I'm correct, the church that Paul and Vicki used to go to was the church that we ended up setting it up when we went back there to do the meeting. And I mean, I don't know if you know Mary Glazier, but Mary Glazier knew we were doing it. And so she came down camping, and she asked her family if she could leave. She was down below us in campgrounds, you know, maybe about 50 miles from us. And she drove up and joined us. And I'm telling you, it was the most fantastic thing that ever happened. It was an alliance about churches from all over that came together, and we broke off all that garbage. It was after that, every time I would come into town, we have a large men's prison over there. And when I would come, when I'd cross the city limits, it was like the prison, the men would just, the ones that they couldn't control, they'd start setting toilet paper on fire and getting in fights, and they'd literally have to do lockdown. And the warden said, Nancy Haney's back in town. That was what was going on. But I'll tell you, things started happening because we went out and prayed in front of that prison on Saturday, and on Monday, guess what started happening? Those long-term lifers that were in that prison said, we need more. We need God to come in. We need cleansing streams or whatever it is, deliverance ministry. We need it in this prison. And they start sending deliverance ministry teams into that prison, which meant the pastors in the area had to come together and had to come into agreement. Then maybe about a year later, I'm home. I happen to be home, and I get a call, and a woman's on the phone, and she says, are you Nancy Haney? And I said, yes. And she said, we just come on, and I can't remember exactly the term, but it was the peace ships that go around the world. They take teams of doctors, and what is it called? The mercy ships. The woman was a representative on the mercy ship, and she says, your name has been recommended. I want to drive over and meet you in Sedona and talk to you. And I went, okay, I didn't know what that was about. So I drove over to Sedona. I can't remember if Debbie was with me. I don't remember who was with me. Went over and sat down with her, and she came like an ambassador from the mercy ship to invite me to join the ministry of the mercy ship. They wanted to know if I would go on tour with them. They wanted me to come on the ship. They wanted to wine and dine me, basically. They wanted me to spend the night. They had a stateroom set up for me on the mercy ship. Wanted to serve me dinner and snacks and whatever, and make a presentation to me to see if they could get me interested in part of the mercy ship going around because of the evangelistic heart I have. And it was like very overwhelming. I don't know who recommended me. I don't know how that came about. All I know is I took a team over there, and one of the churches said the team could stay at the church. And I asked them if I could invite the team to go on the ship with me. I think all of you got to go on with me. And they downscaled it. So because we didn't want dinner, I said, but you know, we'll do whatever. They showed me the room that my stateroom that I was going to stay in and whatever. But it was a season in my life where I knew that God didn't want me to limit into that place. But I'll tell you what, after we were done with the mercy ship and I kind of shared my heart, you know, God had a different direction for me to go. Then we went and hit the streets late at night and went and prayed, and it was so powerful. I'm telling you that Seward, Alaska has never been the same since. Ever been that bad since. It was powerful. But we formed an alliance. And in that alliance, it goes back to what God asked me this year to put on you guys at these conferences. Is he wanted me to talk about alliance. He wanted me to talk about an alliance through prayer. You know, pulling us together to understand. Aligning yourself with God first. Amen? Aligning yourself to understand who he is. And when you start praising him and you use the terminology of who he is, all of a sudden you discover that's who you are. Amen? And yes, I was very humbled at what Lisa said up here. Very, very humbled. But I'll tell you what, I'm trying to emulate my father. Amen? Trying to emulate him the best that I can. Amen? So, and then I talked about prophecy, and I'll tell you what, my brother hit it so hard. What I was saying when I came in here is this conference is about revival. And everybody can look at revival differently, and you can say we've been praying for revival. That's all well and good, but I'll tell you what, God's the call on revival. And all these places that God has been sending me, these seven places in the United States, these seven places are spots that he was stirring up revival, and it's his plan. Ketchikan, you've been faithful. You have been faithful. You know your naughties, you know your weaknesses, you know your strengths, but every one of you in here that has been riding this ship since Wednesday, you know there's revival in your heart. You know you're different. Raise your hand. Are you different? Has this been an awesome conference? It's been awesome, hasn't it? She said there's been deliverances and healings and acceptance. And I mean, you're good people. You're good ground to sow in. Amen? Amen? And you're mature. That was some of the comments. Some of the ladies come back and said, what a mature group. I don't have to explain a lot. You guys have already been there, done that. You know, your pastors have done good to inform you. You just might be in a little bit of rebellion. Now you laugh, but you know what rebellion is. It's as witchcraft. That's what the Bible says. But I don't care. I'm here to present an alliance that has come with Point to Hope and this church and other churches and male and female. Doesn't matter gender. It doesn't matter color. I mean, we've got my brothers here, and I love them with all my heart. And I was so excited for them to come and to dance. Amen? And to represent this land that God has given all of us. And he said, come on, form an alliance. Amen? I'm not telling you to move into their house. I'm just saying, get together and praise me and see what God will do to your hearts. Amen? And tonight, I have another one I want to share with you. And we did... Oh, do you see that? I have another artist in Georgia. And I was speaking, and that's what she painted for me. I have it at home, actually. But if you look at it, you'll see the word listen on that branch. Do you see it? Listen to the sound of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, sometimes you got somebody speaking to you, and it's like you're looking at them, and it's like, they don't talk like that. But I'll tell you, listen to how God communicates through us. We are his feet, his hands, his mouth. We are his ears. We are his heart. That's who we are in the body of Christ. Amen? I know I don't have to give you a job description, but I can sure tell you this. Satan has a job description in John 10:10. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. He's got a lot with him. Jesus came to give life and give it abundantly. Amen? So you can be part of Satan's crowd, because there's only two masters, to kill, steal, and destroy. And that means the actions that we do, the unkind actions, words, things we do to hurt people, and we intend to do it. And we go, why did I do that? I intended to do that, but that hurt that person, and I didn't mean to hurt him so bad. It's because that's what Satan's job description is. That's, and the only way he can do it is to convince you and get in your head and lie to you, and then you manifest. And he doesn't know he's got you until you manifest. Amen? But then we've got Jesus who came, and his job description is what? Life abundantly. Do I have life abundantly? Have you seen anything different? Life abundantly. The doctors say a lot different, but I'll tell you what, they think I'm a miracle, okay? They think I'm a miracle. Guess what? I am. I'm God's kid. I am God's kid. And no matter what, when my time is to go, I'll be the first one on the bus. Because I know where I'm going and I'm not afraid. Amen? The only thing I'm afraid of, honestly, the only real thing I'm afraid of, that I don't get to do as much as he wanted me to do here. I've been given this amount of time, and am I going to piddle around and not be willing to align with others to you know, because I want to be the boss and do it? No, I don't. You ask these girls. I don't very rarely boss them. I may have to make administrative decisions, but they come to me and go, don't you think this needs to be done? And I went, yeah, that's your job. That's what you're supposed to do. If I was busy doing all your jobs, then I couldn't do what I'm supposed to be doing. Amen? But I'll help them. I'll work right alongside them. I'll roll my sleeves up. I mean, I'm staying at Debbie Andrews, and she won't let me clean the kitchen up whenever we eat. I mean, if I get up, then that's the end of the conversation at the table. So it's like, should I get up? If I take the dishes in there, I could quickly put them in the dishwasher, you know, whatever. But no, if I got Dave sitting at the table, I'm lock and load. I don't want to move. You know what I mean? So Sarah, she lets me visit with him, and she gets in and runs in there and does those dishes. And I have to just be satisfied at that. That's part of me. Amen, Sarah? Amen. But alliance, to pull together, to know we have a job. Now, in saying all that, I want to give you the final word. And I used the Oreo cookie. And by the way, I was so naughty yesterday. I had to repent. I ate 3 Oreo cookies. 3. I was so sick today. It's like I am so naughty, but I just was celebrating last night, guys. I couldn't stand it. I felt like a little kid, and I don't even really like Oreo cookies. What did I do that for? I don't even like sweets. Anyway, silly, huh? But I won't do that again. There's a whole bowl back there. I'll let you have them. Amen. My alliance with you is, go for it. I'm room at the cross, and there's cookies there too. Okay, so now you want your fifth word, and your fifth word is inheritance. And this is how he said it to me. He said, Nancy, ask them if they know their inheritance. So what I want to do is just kind of review a little bit about that word inheritance, and I just got to remember where my notes are. Okay? What does inheritance sound like? What comes to your mind when I say inheritance? Heritage? Yeah? Yes, eternal inheritance, right on. There's a lot of inheritance in this word. I can go through it. I can talk about Psalms 103, Psalms 133. I can talk about Isaiah 11. I can talk about Galatians, Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit. I can talk about the fivefold ministry. I can talk about a lot of inheritance that we don't understand. But I also can tell you that one of our favorite scriptures for Point to Hope is in Romans, where it says, I cannot wait to come see you and impart some good gift in you, because it's part of your inheritance. That impartation is your inheritance. Your inheritance was up here every day when you came up here and got in line and we prayed for you. That was yours. We were the conduit just to make sure that it's imparted in your heart and that you're willing to let it be activated. Amen? When you look at the fruit of the Spirit, it's like the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit. One year we did a conference and our theme was the fruit of the Spirit. And I said, I told him, in the decorations, I see one basket of fruit, I'm going to be so mad. Didn't I say that? We were doing a meeting. I said, I don't want any pictures. I don't want any pineapple and, you know, pumpkins or whatever you want to stick around. It's not about that. The fruit of the Spirit is all in one, and it's all yours. You just have to determine to activate it. Amen? You have a choice to decide about the peace, the joy. Even the long suffering, are you willing to tighten up your belt and suffer long until God lifts that season? Did Jesus suffer? He did. And we're in the likeness of him. Amen? But let me show you what he gave me to tell you. There's two things about your inheritance that I want to share. And I want to just quote this scripture over you before I go. And it's very important. Do you have faith? You have faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Say that with me. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God. That's Romans 10:17. And you'll see scriptures about how he comes with sword and fire. What is sword and fire? It's his word. What is fire? It's his Holy Spirit. Amen? Sword and fire. I would be so bored if I didn't have a Bible and I didn't walk in the Holy Spirit. I would be absolutely bored. When I get around people that don't understand the power within, they walk in the form. I go to church. I've gone to church for 40 years. This is what I do. But I am conservative, and this hocus pocus stuff that you guys are doing here, it's scaring the liver out of me. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh. I know I had to have training wheels when I first started. I know it scared me. I ran out the door. I ran out the door fast, but God turned me right around to run back in twice. I really was being foolish. I was really being scared. But I'll tell you, I just can't imagine today without being acquainted and in alliance with God for his work on this earth. Amen? I don't do it by myself. I won't even come up here and speak in front of you until I have been before the Lord and made sure that my hands were clean. And I walk with the Lord. Do you? I tell you, I am needy. I'll be the first one to tell you, I am a needy woman. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care what positions you have. If you don't have Jesus, I'll tell you what, you're a very lonely person. You're going to be left out a lot. But when you walk with Jesus, the whole world that's Christians is your friends and brothers and sisters. I'm never alone. Amen? I'm never alone. In this inheritance, if you go with me to John 16, Very simply put. Remember what I said the first night, probably the second night, the number 16 in God's word is God's love. Think about that. God's love. God's love. When you're reading the scripture and you come to a place and it says verse 16 or chapter 16, stop and pay attention because you're going to see God's love in that scripture. You'll see it. I've gone through in teaching and gone through scriptures, list the scriptures, and went right through the numbers and correlated it with the scripture and showed exactly what that number represented and the scripture, that's what it talked about. Bondage? Bondage is number 18. 17 is victory. 15 is rest. 16 is God's love. 20 is redemption. 8 is new beginnings. 9 is through the Spirit. 10 is testimony. I can go on and on and on. And this year, 2015, that's coming up, I'm telling you, you're going to understand numbers even more clearly. What that number 15 is about, what 2015 is about, what the original year is. I think it's 5775, I think. Yes, that's the Jewish number for the year. And that is going to speak volumes to us. I can't wait to bring you the word for this year. I'm busting. I'm at the gate. Lord, can I? And he goes, no. Just these little bits of nuggets. Amen? So, and you're in chapter 16? Me too. I want to start out at the end of actually John 15. It says, if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin, but now they have sin and also hate both me and the Father. Have you ever noticed that when you get told you can't do something, that's exactly what you want to do? Have you ever noticed that? When you go to somebody's house, don't do this and this and this, and you eventually do in one of them? You know, it's about, even as adults, we do that. Anyway, but he goes on to say, this happens that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, and they hated me without cause. Because what Jesus is saying, as I'm trying to teach, and I'm trying to teach, you know, a lot of people hate me. Why? Because I love Jesus. A big reason is because I love Jesus, and they don't want to hear it. You get divided in your family. Jesus came to separate. Did you know that? He came so that we could see the difference of walking with Christ and not walking with Christ. And he did. I was raised in a heathen home, and I was the only Christian in my home, clear till I was almost 40 years old. And my immediate family, my parents, my brothers and sisters, 9 brothers and sisters, I was the only Christian. I got made fun of all the time. I was called Plain Jane. I was called Cootie Girl. I was called names you wouldn't believe. I mean, they'd go to school. We went to a different school 2 or 3 times a year. My younger sister, she was so jealous of me. She'd show up at the school and say, let me introduce my sister. This is Cootie Girl. Well, bad boys, they always grab that up and they'd run with it. And I'd go down the hall and I'd be walking along and they'd go, and spit on me. And that came out of my brothers and sisters, unfortunately. And they go, we were just joking. We didn't mean it to get that bad. But I was different. And I was the one that we moved into a new neighborhood, and I was walking up and down the street looking to see where the little old ladies lived. I would look to see where they were at because 99% of the little old ladies went to church. And I would go and knock on the door, and I'd say, we just moved in that third house down there. 6th grade, 5th grade, 4th grade, I did this. On up. I go, can I catch a ride to church with you? And I'd go down the road, we'd be going down the road, and I'd be in the front seat, and I'd just be looking at the driver.
And they go, what are you doing? I go, I'm memorizing your face. Because I don't know when we'll move again. And I don't know if I'll ever see you again. And I always want to remember you. Because the kindness was just awesome. Little old ladies just want to help you and love you and make you doilies and you know, whatever, you know. And that's what I grew up with. That's what I grew up with. And so, you know, you work in a workplace. I remember, I don't even know if it was last year or the year before last, I asked everybody, raise their hand if they talk about the Lord at work. A lot of people did not raise their hand because their job was in jeopardy if they start talking about the Lord. I go, do they even know you're a Christian? We don't talk about it. I don't know. Yes, in this group in Point of Hope, when I came down to Ketchikan, I asked that question. You guys remember that? And I addressed it. Why? Back in the Midwest and the East, you better be careful what you say at the pulpit because you can be sued for it. Yes, you have to be careful. There's a lot of things going on in our government, a lot of laws being changed, and you better be careful that it doesn't get misunderstood. Got to walk carefully. Let me tell you, you better know what you're talking about before you open your mouth. Seriously. You got to guard. I'm not even telling you what it is, but you know what it is. So, then in verse 26, he said, with all that stuff going on, Nancy, all of this, Ketchikan, listen to this, with all that stuff going on, but when the Helper comes, when I shall send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, and he will testify of me. So here we are, 2,000 years ago, he's dealing with that kind of stuff, and now he's bringing in this word that, guess what, I'm going to go, I've been hinting it, but I'm not going to leave you orphaned. I'm going to send a comforter back to help you. It takes us a little while to get there and see that that gift is right here. It's our inheritance through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's ours. I can tell you a lot of things you can inherit. But I'll tell you, this is the most important thing. Amen? This and eternal life. Amen? Everything else falls into place. I'm not worried about it. But if I'm ministering to you and I ask you if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you're not, you're a target. Because it'll transform your life. Amen? And if you got, you know, when we go somewhere and if there's good teachers in that area, we're trying to figure out what church is going to continue to encourage that growth in them in that manner. Because if you don't, they just kind of die off. They don't have anybody to help them unless they're determined. I remember a group up in Canada, an evangelist went in there, he opened the Bible, he introduced them to the Holy Spirit, he got on a plane 2 days later and flew out, didn't go back there for a year. When he went back, the whole village was baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, believing in signs and wonders and miracles. And he goes, where did you learn this? How did you know about this? Has anybody else been in here to teach you? We got it right here. Amen? It's right here if you take it seriously. Amen? And with the Holy Spirit, I'll tell you what, he reveals it. He brings it alive. He connects the dots. Amen? So let me go a little bit further. Verse 27, he says, and you will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, he's talking about those disciples that have been around him. And he's not just talking about the 12. He's talking about the 70. He's talking about the 120. You guys all know what we've been doing. You've been traveling around with me, you know. And I want to relate it to Point of Hope and where we've been and what we've done and when we come back and how much we get to see the growth. It's amazing. But listen to this. Verse 16, these things, and this is written in red, this is Jesus talking. These things I've spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. I'm not going to share something and speak something that you're going to stumble in. I'm going to make sure you have a good anchor on it. Amen? They will put you out of the synagogues. They'll put you out of your church. I had this one Mormon couple that used to come and hear me speak at a Glow. And the husband, he would go to the Mormon church once in a while, and I'm sorry if I'm saying Mormon and offend you, but he would go to the Mormon church with his wife, but he wasn't interested. He worked on the platforms. He would just go because she wanted him to go. He'd been smoking cigarettes since he was 4 years old. And he would ask, they would ask, I'd come over to their house, and I'd come over and talk to him. And anyway, one day, he'd come to a glow, and he came up, and he decided he loved me and trust me. And he says, I want to get delivered of smoking. And I mean, I think at that time he was probably 55, 60 years old. Big, strong man. And I said, okay, I'll pray for you. And he goes, okay. And he stands there. I take his hands. And all of a sudden, I'll tell you, that smoking, that nicotine is a demon. It's more of a demon than it was 40 years ago. Because they put something in it that even makes you more addicted. And I'll tell you what, he started sweating. And his eyes just turned red. And he wanted to hurt me. And he was like this. And I was holding his hands. And there, he couldn't bend my hands. My hands were soft. I wasn't scared. I was holding on. I was standing firm. He was getting delivered of smoking cigarettes. And his tears started going down his face. He goes, Nancy, I'm going to hurt you. Let me go. I think I'm going to hurt you. I think I'm going to... I said, no, you're not. Satan, get out of here. I mean, the room is filled with people. And I mean, he is like shaking. And all of a sudden, that man just burst out crying and hits the floor. And there wasn't any effort in me other than hanging on to him and letting the Holy Spirit deal with him. Amen. I was not afraid. I've been in many accounts like that. The girls have seen me when we've met the devil right on and the manifestations that would just scare the willies out of you. And I just walk over and straddle them like that, and I'm on them like that so they don't flop around and hurt themselves anymore. Get them to look me in the eye and start dealing with the demon. Tell him to get out of there. Get that person to look me in the eye and start confessing Jesus, and they're delivered like that. Amen. What am I afraid of? Just move fast and get them. Amen? That's what I found out. In fact, when Henry and I were younger, I did a stupid thing. That was when we partied a lot. And I was just so proud of him. He was so good at doing arm wrestling that I would just say, he can beat anybody. I just bragged about it. He could beat anybody. And this little short guy comes in, and he's a weightlifter and whatever, and he comes in, and he wants to do that with Henry. And Henry says, Nancy, I don't, he's going to hurt me. I said, well, then I'll arm wrestle him. And so, honest to God, this is what happened. It was the funniest thing. I embarrassed that poor guy so bad. So he got up there, and he was getting himself all ready, and you know how arm wrestlers do? Well, I knew he was going to do that, and I knew my engagement was going to be quick. So he grabs like that, and I went, pow. He goes, I wasn't ready. I said, I beat. He goes, I wasn't ready. And I said, I don't care. You didn't tell me when to start or go. I did. I mean, I was trying to save my husband's face after I... So later, that guy, you know, he was going around the bar, and I was watching him, asking anybody when they arm wrestle. And while they were getting ready, he'd go, boom! And he did the same thing. He didn't have to do that. That was just a girl. It worked. You got to be quick. I'm telling you. I had to be quick with Bob, you know. We got that letter in there, and before you knew what happened, I had him, boom. And it's like, okay, I can't tell her no. Amen? Some of you know that. Liz Stintz, that I did the same thing with her. I mean, she didn't have a chance to think about it. Boom. Amen? Got to be quick. Quick, before they can think about it and get scared. It's afterwards they get scared. I know, Bobby. Why did I do that? You know, I'm gonna have to dig deeper here. I really wanna impress Nancy. I wanna impress God. I wanna do a good job. Why did I say yes? I'm not looking at him because I know it's the truth. All the girls, it's like, Liz, I mean, I asked her, she couldn't say no to me. I knew what to say to her. God said, say it this way, she won't say no to you. Then she went to her husband. There he goes. Liz, those girls love you. Doesn't matter what you say, they're going to love you. She goes to her kids. Mom, you got some details here you need to take out. Let me help you write this. You know, and I know that you got to get a tape and make sure that, you know, because her son's a lawyer, Her husband's a doctor. I mean, I don't know. I'm like, girls, I don't know if I'd go to them and say, can you help me write this? It's like, oh my gosh. But they formed an alliance in their house, and they helped her. Amen? She did a good job, didn't she? It sounded like a doctor up there. Okay, let me finish. So he goes, they will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that they're offering something good up to God. When people come against you, they think they're doing the right thing. There's a lot of stuff going in our government right now, nationally, where they think they're doing the right thing, saying, Christians, you can't do this. Christians, you can't do that. They're challenging our C-105s, and there's all kinds of things happening, and more accountability. Well, when Lisa told you up here about all of these ministries that take wages and 93% of the money that comes in goes into their pocket, let's go to Africa and talk to the Africans. All the money that we send over to Africa to help Africa, they don't even get 3% of a dollar that you send. They're starving, but the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. So they raised little bands of armies, and they started going through the villages, and they started robbing them, and they'd let them know they're coming through, and they'd go, you go in one bedroom of your home and lock the doors. You put anything in there you want that you want to keep, and you lock the doors, and don't you come out. And they would go through the homes, and they would just take everything. Sometimes there'd be two or three families in one locked bedroom while these armies went through. And I'll tell you what, if they unlock that door, they would kill them. They were killing them. So that was the deal, that you just stay in that room and don't you come out. That was the deal. Debbie and I were over there for her daughter's wedding over there. She got married in Kenya, and we went over to, starts with an M, whatever, you know. Pardon? Yeah, it was on the ocean. And we got to talk to so many people and how scared it was when they would, even their kids would cry at night, you know, because they'd all have to sleep in this one bedroom because they wouldn't know if, on the floor, everywhere, they didn't know. We don't know what people go through over there in Africa. All I know is that they said, don't wear your rings, don't wear any jewelry. And if they do come up and you're wearing a ring, they say, give me that ring, give it, or they'll cut your finger off that quick. I mean, story after story after story. And even after Debbie and I were over there, it got worse. Her daughter was over there teaching, and it got so bad and so scary, they had to leave there. They had to leave there. One of Kimberly's best friends got, two friends got kidnapped, and they wanted money. They wanted money. And it was the Navy SEALs that got a group and went in there. And this is after we were over there. And they went in, and they got those two girls out and freed them. The Navy SEALs got them. I mean, we just don't know what's going on out there. So much going on, and there are Christians over there working in Christian schools. And that, they think they're doing the right thing because the government has messed them over, and they're going to form alliances and partner, and they're just going in robbing and taking so they can live. So they can live. It's a mindset and a way of life that we don't understand, but they're trying to survive. You want to pray for them over there. It's more serious than I'm talking about. Right, Debbie? It's horrible. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them, and these things that I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. He was warning them, after I leave, these things are all going to happen. Guess what? He left, and today these things happen to us. We have a tendency to huddle with other believers, so we're safe. You get out into an area where they're not believers. Things happen, don't they? Try to go up and down your street. You know, when I was younger, what I did, we moved into a new area, Henry and I, and I got another friend to come over. I made a bunch of banana nut bread, and I was going to the Nazarene Church, and I was over the children's ministry for the whole church, camp director for the whole state, for boys and girls camp. And so I wanted to just go through the neighborhood and say, I go to church every Sunday. We have Saturday kids fun activities. I'm willing to come. I have a minivan, a good sized minivan. I can come and pick up your children and take them to church if that's what you would like. And I mean, it was funny. It was like, again, give me the banana nut bread, but no, I don't want to talk to you. Some of the people that came to the door, I turned and ran because they weren't properly dressed. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. And I, you know, we're told to reach out, go out. And I have courage, but when silly things like that come up, I'm not going to, you know, you just keep your eyes up this way. Don't look down. I understand. Here's the bread. I'll talk to you later as I'm going away. Deanne Wagner is with me. She says, Nancy, I think I'm going to wait in the car. I said, no, you're not. You're going to go up to the door. If it gets weird, we'll both run. Keep the doors unlocked. But we still did it. Amen? But now, Jesus is preparing. We're going to go away. I want to tell you, Point of Hope is going to leave. We're going to go. But we pray that what you already have, that God has used us to make a greater deposit in you, a greater encouragement in you, and you know that you've been revived, and there's revival going on. Amen? Be stirred up. If it's like, hey, I love that, getting together with others that I never get with. Okay, why don't you make dates for a lunch and pull a bunch together and put a bunch of tables together, meet at Land's Inn or whatever that place is, and have dinner, have lunch. Amen? Before it gets cold, maybe have a service down on the beach and build a bonfire. Cook weenies. I don't care. Do whatever. Amen? You got revival going on in your heart? Do you want to see this keep going on? God wants it to go on. Don't let us just come tickle your ears and let us leave. Let us know you're growing. You're going to do something different. Point of Hope can do that. We can do that. Amen? Maybe you're a little shy. Tell somebody, you know, I don't have any friends. You know, if you guys get together and pray, let's do it. Find out what's going on in this church, what's available. Find out who other churches that are represented here. Find out what's available. See what's going to happen. Don't hide. If you've been hurt by the church, forgive them. Come back. Forgive them. We're human. We make mistakes. Amen? Form an alliance and say, we're going to hold the ground. Amen? Don't let the enemy get it. Okay. But now, he says, I go away. Let's see. Now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me where I'm going. We've been telling you where we're going. And we're asking you to pray. We're asking you to, in the Spirit, to go with us and hold us up. And let that area we're going in have a good time. Have a good time with the Lord to see that he's real and he's loving and he moves. And the power is just amazing. Healing, deliverance, relationship. Amen? But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me where I'm going. But because I have said these things to you, now you're filled with sorrow. Okay, they're leaving. Let's get their addresses. Let's get their emails. I already thought of something I can send them. I hope they're going to come back. I'm going to write them and write them and write them. I hope Nancy will let them come back with her. That's not how it works. Praise God. He goes on to say, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. And if I do not go away, the helper will not come. And you will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now, I'm trying to relate it. What's happening is Jesus is going to be with the Father. Okay? What's happening is Point of Hope is going to go down and do some more work somewhere else. And what God is asking you to do is trust. What we were presenting is the Holy Spirit. To trust the Holy Spirit, calling for yourself. We talked about don't walk in the form of godliness. Don't just walk in the form. Pull down the power, the power, the power. I mean, my son is living on the Oregon or the California coast, and on his free time, what he does is he goes and he puts a tent up on the beach, and he said, "You want prayer?"
Oh, really?
Yeah. He does all kinds of things. He's got friends that show up, and people come, and he prays for them. Henry has a gift of prophecy. He'll prophesy. God gives him a word to give. He doesn't make anything up. If you guys have been on his Facebook account, you'll see pictures of the tent that he sets up, and it's and a sign that says, "Do you want prayer?" Isn't that awesome? You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see what you can do to reach people. To reach people. Why are we needing to reach people? Pardon? So they know the good news. So they know that they can have a healthy relationship with a father that loves them endearingly, will never leave them or forsake them. Amen? That they will have life abundantly. Amen? That they will have life eternally. That they will have a comforter that will come, the Holy Spirit, to come and help direct them. And it's like, some of you might want to call it a crutch. It's not a crutch, but you can call it a crutch. But I'll tell you what, if I'm on a football team and somebody whispers it to me, there's a weak spot over there, that's where you can run with the ball, do you think I'm going to do it? You bet. The Holy Spirit guides us like that. I'll get you through. And you can run to the finish and make your touchdown. Amen? But here's where I'm going. Because I have said these things, sorrow fills your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage I go away. But if I do not go away, the Helper will not come. But if I do depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will come to convict the world, this is important, of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He comes to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And if we stop there, which a lot of people do, they go, okay, he's coming to convict us of sin. And we already in our mind got what sin is. You've already got it figured out. What is sin? Okay? Righteousness. Do we know what righteousness is? If we leave it there, sin, righteousness, and judgment. We're convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And we've got that in our hand. And what does that mean? We don't read on. We don't put it together. But this is what it goes on to say. The sin of what? Of unbelief. Number one thing that you are going to be in trouble with God is the sin of unbelief. Amen? And that means if you're doubting the power, you're doubting what God wants to do in your life, you're already operating in sin. You're already dealing with sin. Amen? Righteousness. He says, the sin that you do not believe, the righteousness because I go to my Father and I will not see you anymore. His righteousness is to bring us into righteousness. It's nothing I can do to make me right. I can just try to be as perfect as I can be, but that doesn't make me righteous. What makes me righteous is the blood of Jesus Christ, that he did what he came to do. He died on the cross. And he rose again, and he made that way for me for righteousness, because I cannot get with the Father lest I go through the Son. Do you understand that? Do you believe that? Amen? And judgment, because of the ruler of this world. Because Satan rules this world, and God has given Jesus judgment over him, which means that judgment means you've got power in the name of Jesus to stop that devil. Amen? And that power is not limited. It's limited in the natural. It's limited in the spirit. It's limited in the emotional. Amen? You can stop the devil when he's messing with your finances, your marriage, your relationships, your job. I've got tons and tons of stories of people on their way to work, and they're going to a place that it's hell, and they know that they're Christians, and they don't know what they're going to do, what's going to happen, and they're on the way to work, and they'll call me, and I'll go, what I want you to do is find the closest bathroom to your boss's office. I want you to go in that office bathroom, and I want you to make sure the door is locked, and I want you to put your hands on the wall of that boss's office, and you start praying for salvation and heal him and forgive him or forgive her. Amen? And you're gonna start seeing a change in your boss, your coworkers, instead of coming to me saying, I'm quitting my job because they pick on me. Well, you're in that job for a refining work for God's hand. Amen? Don't give up. Don't give up. I think of Patty and now God is just elevating her, because she knows this principle. She knows to believe. She knows God's righteousness in her. And she knows that whatever comes against judgment on her, God will take care of it. Amen? Do you have that kind of trust? Or do we run around like little mini-gods and we make up our decisions and do what we want and ends up a mess and we go, God, why did you let this happen? God, don't you love me? Didn't I do everything you told me to do except this little thing? I ate those stupid Oreo cookies. I'm sorry. And it's so important to repent. It is. It really is. Praise God. I say all these things. And it's kind of interesting because, make sure I have what I want here. You guys are just going to have to hang in with me. Okay, hang in with me just a little bit longer. Sarah, get it. We have a problem. We've been sharing about alliance with prayer, praise, prophecy. What God can do if we line up, align with God, and align with the body of Christ. Is it my imagination? Can this ever be possible? The reason that we cannot get this right is because next week, after all this fun's over with, all this pitter-patter that's going on in your heart, God is real. God touched me. I felt the power of God go right through me. I mean, it's just the beginning. When that starts melting down, then we go back to our negative thinking, our doubting, our anger, and then we're back in the same place, sometimes even worse than that. Billy Graham, when he would go into places, he always had something set in place where people would have somewhere to go after they accepted Jesus Christ. Well, I'm not talking to babies in here. I'm talking to mature Christians that God is addressing. We have lost our first love. And we have gotten apathy and slumber because we should be on fire. We should be in the Word every day. Give Him 10 minutes a day for a week and see how it will change your life and how God will make a difference. Even Bob, when he got up here, he says, I don't do devotions like I should. I can about guarantee you that man's going to change that because it will show on you that you've been spending time with the Lord. His Shekinah glory will be on you. You can tell when I'm with the Lord. You'll see it on my face. You'll hear it out of my words. Come on up here. I want to take you to a scripture. It's in, I believe it's in 1st or 2nd Kings chapter 13. Did you hear that, 1st or 2nd? That's broad, isn't it? Let me see if I got it in my notes here. Sarah, do you remember? 2 Kings chapter 13. Okay, we're going to start at verse 14. Are you putting it up there? Elijah had become sick. He was very sick. I want to make a point here. He had an illness that he was going to die. The reason I say it like that is because we do get illnesses and we die. Whatever method, when God takes you home, it's His timing. Amen? Amen? Even if it's cancer, disease, whatever it is, if God lets you go, He's going to let you go. You know, my husband got cancer, and he got serious cancer. 3 months to live. It wasn't time for him to go, and God healed him. Did it make him special? No. He was no more special than his brother on the right and the left that died in that same time. God just not finished with him. Amen? Amen? So anyway, don't be afraid of death, and don't think you've done something bad because you got an illness. There may be a measure of it. But please, don't judge people when they get sick. They've got sick from the beginning of time. Elijah became sick and was with illness. A great man, a great man. He did 10 times more than Elijah did. Okay? So Elijah. Then King Joash shows up on the scene. And King Joash of Israel came down to him and wept over him. He wept in his face and he said, "Oh, Father, my Father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." It's like everyone loves you. Everyone is sad you're sick right now. And we love you. He's honoring him. He's honoring everyone in the land is honoring him, he's saying. We all love you. We all support you. In verse 15, Elijah says to him, "Take a bow and take some arrows." So Joash gets some. So he took them to himself. He got the bow and he got some arrows. Amen? Some bow and some arrows. And then Joash got the arrow into the bow. And then he says, he points to him and he says, "Point it to the window." He said, "The king of Israel put..." Wait a minute, let me go back to 15. Elijah said to him, "Take a bow and some arrows." So he took himself some bow and arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, "Put your hand on the bow." In other words, Joash actually has a hand on the bow. So he put his hand on the bow, and Elijah put his hand on the king's hands. And he said, "Open the east window. Open the east window." Amen? And he said this. Don't let it go. He said, "Open the east window." Then Elijah said, "Shoot!" And he shot. And the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of the deliverance of Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them. And so that's what he did. He said, "Point to the east." Is that the east? Somebody opened the window, and he shot it. And it went out. Why did he do that? Why did Elijah use that example with the king who obviously loved him? He got off his deathbed and helped him aim it. What do you think that was about? It was a prophetic act. And this was the prophetic act. In those days, how they declared war, when they said enough is enough, they would take an arrow and they'd shoot it in the main camp. And it was a sign unto them, "You have 30 days to get out of this country or we're going to war to death." That's how they did it. They would shoot an arrow. It was an announcement. Then Elijah goes on. He said, "Take some arrows." So he took some arrows. He says, "Take some arrows." He said, "The king of Israel, strike the ground." So he struck the ground 3 times. Struck it 3 times. And the man of God, Elijah, he got angry. It says the man of God was angry with him and said, "You should have struck 5 or 6 times. Then you would have struck Syria and you would have destroyed. But now you will strike Syria and only 3 times. 3 arrows. Why didn't he take those arrows? He said, "Get some arrows." And he said, "Strike the ground. Strike the ground because you're going to get victory." And he goes, half-hearted, wasn't he? And the man of God got so upset, he said, "Why didn't you strike the ground? And I would have given you victory and it would have been over with. Now you're only going to get them 3 times. And they're going to come back." What was that story in there for? I read that and went, "God, why is that story in there? What does that have to do with anything?" Go with me to Matthew 11. We're almost done here, and then we're going to have fun. Matthew 11, verse 12. This is going to explain why the enemy can come in and take your joy, take your fruit of spirit. Take the plans that God has for you and turn them another way. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets of the land prophesied until John. And if you're willing to receive it, he, Elijah, who has come. And basically he was saying, if you have ears to hear, hear it. You know what the problem is? We've lost our passion. What's the problem? I became a Christian. I loved the Lord. I was willing to do anything for the Lord. I was willing to take hurt and curses and whatever because I remember what it was like before I became a Christian. But, oh, I've been a Christian 30, 40 years. It doesn't matter. You look at, they're all just going through their business as usual. They go in the temple. They're doing, they're selling their wares. They're selling their stuff. I mean, they pass the blind, the lame, the deaf. They're right outside the gates. And they walk through and they go in and they pull out their money and they pay for the birds, they pray for the lambs, they're in there selling, their money changers are because they come in from all over the world, they're making money off of people, taking advantage of people, and guess what? The house of God is being corrupted because it's business as usual. Business as usual. And look what happens. Those blind, deaf, lame. They're outside. They're out here leaning with their little cups, hoping somebody will throw in a penny because that's the only way they're going to live. And Jesus, he didn't care. He beat that ground. He went in there. He started turning tables upside down. He got a telephone, whatever, and was whipping it. I mean, he was just saying, you've turned my father's house from a house of prayer to a den of thieves. A den of thieves. And he cleared it out. He cleared it out. And all of a sudden, here come that lame man into the house of prayer for Jesus to minister to him. And what was that lame? It was a lame walking in faith today. I'm limping in my faith. I go to church maybe once every 3 or 4 months if I feel like it and somebody invites me. Another one, he comes along, he can't hear. He can't hear. No, he can't hear. He can't hear the truth because of all the noise around us. Do you hear the sound of God or you hear the sound of the world? Amen? It sounds appealing, this world, but I'll tell you, the sound of God will give you life and give it to you abundantly. Amen. The blind. I can't see. I can't see. But he's wandering in there, and Jesus is going to minister to him. And his eyes are open, and I see the truth. It's been hidden from me. I didn't want to know the truth anyway. It scared me. Amen? You see me up here laying hands on people, and I pray for them, and I'll tell you, they hit the floor. They get back up, and their lives are changed. Guess what? You can do it too. The same Jesus that's in me is in you. Amen? Now, where I'm going to take you is a real fun place. We got to take it back by force. We got to take God's kingdom and catch a can by force. And that's going to be pressing into the prayer. That's going to be pressing into the praise. That's going to be pressing into the prophecy. That's going to be pressing in, forming alliances with people you never thought you would sit and talk to. Amen? That means you're going to go ahead and you're going to pull your inheritance in because your inheritance is eternal life. It is the power of God. And when you believe, nothing is impossible. Isn't that how we started tonight? Nothing is impossible. You saw all those soldiers up there and they were singing that song. That's what we should be. We should be excited about our faith. We should be excited about our faith everywhere we go. And they want to know what you're all about. Amen? Amen. So if you'll give me a few minutes, we're going to get this set up. I need 12 chairs. No, I don't need 12 chairs. I don't need any chairs. What was I talking about? Okay. I need my team up here that I had in that back room back there before we started. Come up here right now. Debbie, you take care of the other. Come up here. Get on either side. I don't care. I have Evelyn Glass and Lewis and Come on up here. Put them around your neck. I need some music back there. I need... I actually need funeral music. Okay, what do we have left? Here's Lewis's. Where's... There he is. Did you give Jesus his card? Who's missing? Okay, Evelyn, not you. Come on. Ben, come up here. Do we have any left? You need to come down here. Stand right there at the end. You guys kind of line up across each other. Line up even. Okay, give room, a little bit of room here. I've got two signs here. Ben, I didn't give Ben one. You want one, Ben?
Of course.
Okay, who else? Just a second, I'm looking. Carol? Carol, why aren't you up here? Who are you pointing to? If you can release him. Is Vicky up here? Yes. Yes, you got to stick with me. Come on, Paul. Okay, let me tell you what's going on here. They're all wearing signs. This is a gauntlet. You know what a gauntlet is? In the ancient days, a gauntlet was something that you went through. One, it was a place of punishment. If you got caught doing something wrong, they sent you through the gauntlet. If you survived the punishment they were going to inflict on you, then you were forgiven of your problem. But you, just about 99% of the time, didn't make it through. They killed you. They're warriors. When they were trained and equipped, they would have to go through the gauntlet, and they would be just literally beat up, you know, before they would get to the end, if they could get to the end, or they busted through and they didn't want to do it anymore. They use the gauntlet for ways of testing, like let's say that, you know, for example, me, I come here and that's you put me through the gauntlet to test me. They would believe the gods would say whether I was good or bad, and you would say if you can get to the end down there alive, then you were set free. I mean, the gods had to be favorable on you, or you're going to die, and you would try to get through there, and their job is to kill you. You try to get through there. There were a lot of things that the gauntlet was for. And the Lord said he wanted me to set this gauntlet up. He gave me the names. I'll pull her around. They all have different names, but this one is doubt and unbelief. And all these names that are on here, when you go through this gauntlet, nobody's going to get away with not doing this. I mean, this you got to go through it. Because it's a way of that you're going to come into purification. Amen. You're going to go through. They're not going to pray for you. All they're going to do is stand there. And I would say go slow. Take your time. Look at them sincerely. If you see that that's an area that's in your life, repent. You don't have to repent out loud. You can repent out loud. You can cry. You can do it quietly. This is between you and God. When you look at those signs, I'll tell you, when I went down this, there were signs I saw. I knew I had conviction. The conviction said that's operating in my life, and I would immediately repent. When you get to the end, Jesus is going to be waiting for you. That's your hope and glory. Is this man down there that's representing Jesus? You're not even going to care about the man. You're going to see that sign, Jesus. You're going to be so glad to get down there and see what he will do with you when you get through. And this is the way God operates. Amen? And after, and if you feel like you went through it and you feel like you got to go through it again, we will give you time. And then we're going to switch out and you're going to go through the fire tunnel. And the fire tunnel will have different names on it. And the fire tunnel is when they will put hands on you and bless you and send you through. Amen? It's exciting. But you got to get through this because we all have stuff in our life. We got hidden secrets that we think nobody knows, and God knows them all. He said, these are it. in a nutshell. So when you go through there, just say, God, forgive me. This is, I mean, you don't have to even say it out loud. Just go slow and look. Amen? It's going to be fun. Before it's over, it will be absolutely a blast. You're going to come into deliverance. Amen?